Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when using code THPN during signup. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players. So what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use code THPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code THPN to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a sports betting perspective. With pro handicappers Alex B. Smith and Ian Cameron, and veteran sports writer Jimmy Murphy. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. It is Tuesday, April 20th, 4:20. So smoke them if you got them, for those that are into that. Hope you're enjoying your April 20th. We are ready to break down the NHL betting card. As we always do each and every day, we're here with you 7 days a week on the Ice Guys, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Very interesting card tonight to break down. So let's get right to bit work, breaking down this Tuesday night slate. We'll start with the game that, note the start time here, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time and 3:30 p.m. Pacific time with this game. It is the Boston Bruins taking on the Buffalo Sabres. We've got Boston minus 300 road favorites, total 5.5, shaded to the under in this game. And look, the Buffalo Sabres under Don Granato, their current head coach, we have seen definitely some strides of improvement with this group in terms of their work ethic, in terms of their compete level, in terms of their attention to detail. I think their defensive game has improved a little bit. And hey, they're getting some saves from an unlikely source, Dustin Tokarski, who's been pressed into duty for this Buffalo Sabres team in recent games due to the injuries that have been happening with the injury to Linus Allmark. Carter Hutton's been out as well. So because of that, it's opened up the door for opportunity for Dustin Tokarski, and it's great to see him make the most of it. I think he's been really good, actually, his last few starts. He got the win against Washington. They lost the first of the two games back-to-back over the weekend against the Pittsburgh Penguins, but I thought he played well enough to win the game. And then in the second game, it was outstanding, and the Sabres pull off the big upset victory over the Pittsburgh Penguins Sunday afternoon. And you look at this Sabres team, you've got a young group competing for roster spots. Casey Mittelstadt, among others, has really stepped up to the plate lately for the Sabres. Reinhardt's been excellent. Olofsson on the power play is still very dangerous. Dylan Cousins works his tail off every game. Tage Thompson has been good. they insert this new kid, Arttu Ruotsalainen, as well into the lineup. Call him up, and he's made an impact. Anders Bjork in the Taylor Hall deal has gotten it going as well for the Sabres. So there's lots to like. This team's playing hard, not a nightly basis, but here in this game, they're running into a Bruins team they haven't had much success against, and a Bruins team that's starting to peak, play better hockey, get healthier on the blue line, which is significant because they had been dealing with cluster injuries on defense for a long time now. And it looks like now you're down to pretty much Brandon Carlo and Kevin Miller as your only two starting defensemen. You've got everybody back now. Charlie McAvoy's come back. It looks like Matt Grizzlick is going to make his return from injury tonight for the Boston Bruins as well. So this team now is starting to get that defense healthy again, and obviously playing extremely well the last three games. Back-to-back wins against the Islanders, who had dominated them previously, and then a convincing win against Washington on Sunday. There's a good team right now, Boston. So as much as I'm picking my spots for Buffalo, you know, when I feel that the other team may, you know, take it easy against them or look past them, kind of like Washington. Part of my thinking last week was when Buffalo beat Washington was that it was a dead spot. It was a complete flat spot for the Capitals in that game because of the fact that they had wiped the floor with Boston and Philadelphia in back-to-back games. And they just totally laid an egg against the Sabres. I don't think Boston's going to do that tonight. They're on a roll. They want to keep it going. I think it's pedal to the metal hockey for Bruce Cassidy's team right now. And look, the New York Rangers aren't letting up behind them in the standings. They see the New York Rangers behind them and what they're doing right now. They're playing good hockey. They haven't given up on their chances of trying to track down the Boston Bruins for that fourth spot in the East Division for that final spot. So Boston has to keep winning here, and they have had success. By the way, the under in this head-to-head series with the Sabres and Bruins, I think the under's cashed in seven straight head-to-head games between the Sabres and the Bruins. So it's difficult to go against that, and Tokarski has actually played pretty well in recent games. So I could see this game staying under. As far as the side goes, it's a pass. It's hard to find the value with the Bruins. Even the puck line, you got to lay a little bit of a price with that. I'm going to be off this game entirely, Bruins and Sabres, but should be interesting, though. Boston playing well, Buffalo playing hard every night. We'll see what wins out tonight in that game. All right, next up, we've got the Carolina Hurricanes and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa Bay minus 115 to minus 120, home favorites, total 5.5 across the board. Tough loss last night for Carolina, tough for me as well. That was the show best bet for me yesterday was Carolina. I'm coming right back to Carolina tonight, though. Carolina's been excellent. I believe they're perfect on the season in games following a one-goal loss, and obviously that's what they suffered last night against Tampa Bay. It was a back-and-forth game. Credit to Carolina, who fell behind 2-0. They didn't really have a great first period, a couple of breakdowns defensively. They gave up a power play goal to Braden Point. But Carolina battled back, was really starting to take the play to Tampa Bay in the third period. Couldn't beat Vasilevsky. And then, of course, Tampa Bay ends up getting the overtime winner and gets the 3-2 win. I think Carolina can bounce back here in this game tonight. I look to them at plus 105. You can get that around that price on the Hurricanes here tonight in this game. We know it's going to be Alex Nedeljkovic in net for the Hurricanes. No issues with that. He's a great goalie. He's had a nice season for the Hurricanes. It looks like it could be Curtis McElhinney tonight on the second of back-to-back games and resting Vasilevsky, who played last night. So that, to me, is an advantage for Carolina in the goaltending battle, if indeed it's McElhinney. It is not confirmed, though. You know, John Cooper could pull the old wool over our eyes and the old switcheroo and decide, you know what, maybe I'll go with Vasilevsky two nights in a row. But regardless, I'm on Carolina again here in this one at plus 105. I'm going to assume it's McElhinney in net. Even if it's not, I'm on this bet anyway. Carolina plus price as well as over 5.5. There were opportunities for that game to have more goals than it did. In fact, expected goals, if you chart that stuff, you'll see that there probably could have been a few more goals in the game last night than the 5 that there ended up being in that 3-2 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I do like Carolina plus 105, and I like over 5.5 here as well, minus 110. Again, because you've seen some of these teams trend under lately, And in fact, last night's game also stayed under. You're getting a pretty good value bet here on this total to go over. I mean, it's 5.5. It's right around even money. That's almost a bargain if you're looking at overs these days in the NHL when you're talking not only a 5.5 total, but -110. Not much juice to have to lay on it. So Canes and over for me against Tampa Bay tonight in this one. Next game on the sked, we've got Columbus and Florida. Florida Panthers -200. Home favorites, total 5.5 here, shaded to the over. Florida Panthers do what many of us expected them to do, and that's beat a dead Columbus team. They were able to do that last night in the victory against the Blue Jackets. This Florida team, I'm telling you, they're not going away. It's time we respect them as legit contenders. I'm not just talking playoffs anymore. I'm talking cup contenders. That's where this team is. Even without Aaron Ekblad, there's still so much to like with what this team is doing right now. I like the way this team is just coming together, playing great hockey. The Sam Bennett trade with the Calgary Flames, I said it the moment that trade happened, and you can go back and watch the Ice Guys show when we recapped the trade deadline. It was last week, and I talked a little about the Sam Bennett trade. I said, watch him take off now and play good hockey for this Florida team. He just needed a change of scenery, a change of environment, new players around him, just a complete wiping of the slate clean. He needed it, and he got it now in Florida. And look, he scores a goal, his first goal with the Panthers. Might be his first goal of many. I thought he was all over the ice last night, getting chances in on the forecheck, scores the goal, drops the gloves with Gavin Bayreuther in that game, sticking up for his teammates. Great example. And then after he fought the guy from Columbus, Bayreuther, you saw Duclair, you saw Huberdeau, you saw all of his teammates go over to him, give him a little stick tap in the penalty box saying, good on you, guy. Good on you, Sam, for sticking up for your teammates. You're trying to ingratiate yourself to the hockey team. I think that was pretty good of him to do that, and good of the teammates to acknowledge, hey, this guy's trying to fit in. He's trying to be a difference maker. You got to love it. And Joel Quenneville pushing all the right buttons, what he's done with this group. Look, Jack Adams' conversation should be there for Joel Quenneville. And I know the Panthers television voice, Dennis Goldstein, Goldie, it's a great Twitter handle. You can follow him on Twitter, Goldie on Ice. It's a great Twitter handle, the guy that calls the Florida Panthers games on television. He actually put it out there that Joel Quenneville should get nominations for Coach of the Year. I agree with that. He's done a good job. Like Ekblad went down, everybody's holding their breath and saying, oh, that's it for Florida. No, that's not it for Florida. They've continued to play very good hockey. Their offense has been terrific. Barkov's proven that he's been worthy of being the captain on this team. He's played so well at both ends of the ice. The defense has been solid. Like I say, they get Brandon Montour, which was a nice addition from the Buffalo Sabres. Mackenzie Weegar's been good. This has been one of the best seasons I've seen out of Keith Yandle in a long time. Strawman, it's a very capable blue line still for this Panthers team. And, of course, the goaltending's been solid. Bobrovsky's been better this season. Is he still at the level he was when he was with Columbus? Not quite, but he's getting closer to that level. He's played a lot better this season after a dismal year last year. Chris Drieger has been good as a second goalie for Florida. But we're not talking Bobrovsky tonight. We're not talking Drieger tonight in terms of who's in net for the Florida Panthers. We're talking Spencer Knight, the kid phenom. And if you've watched this kid's young career so far in the college level with Boston College, where he was unbelievable, barely above 2 goals against average last season, a .932 save percentage with Boston College. If you saw his performance in the World Junior Hockey Championship, leading the U.S. to gold in that tournament, you know this kid's got legit ability, legit talent. He could be the real deal. Again, I say could be. He might be. I think he will be. The real deal, but you never want to fully say it until you actually see it. But everything about this kid is that he is going to be a big time, not a good goalie, but a great goalie, a big time goalie in the NHL. And it's going to be interesting to see how he fares here in this first NHL start, just a day after turning 20. He only got out of his teenage years yesterday, celebrating his 20th birthday. And now here he is about to make his NHL debut. Happy for the kid. Wish him all the best. I've certainly seen him play the World Juniors. I was watching that whole tournament start to finish, and his performance in net for the U.S. was just outstanding. He's got great reflexes. He moves post to post effortlessly. you know, he reads the play well. He's square to the shooter. His rebound control was outstanding in that tournament. He just didn't spit up second and third chance pucks out into the crease area, out into the slot area, you know, against the opposing teams. He just did a great job of, you know, sucking everything up like a vacuum when the puck hit him. And that's a trait that is vital to being a good goaltender in the NHL. You can't be popping these rebounds right back out into those dangerous scoring areas. And he already has that very, very solid ability of being able to grab the rebound, not allow a second and third chance off it. Really good stuff from Spencer Knight. We'll see if he's ready for his first debut to play well. Look, it's not an imposing offense that he's playing. Columbus, we know, has had trouble finding the back of the net for a very long time now. So I think if you're Coach Q and the Panthers, you pick the right time, the right spot, the right opponent to get his feet wet here in the NHL. Because again, this is not going up against the Lightning or Carolina or one of these juggernauts in the division that you're battling with. No, this is a manageable matchup and a very manageable first ever start in the National Hockey League, in my opinion, for Spencer Knight. So I'm tempted to go Florida puck line here. I'm going to go Florida puck line. I'm pissed I didn't bet that last night. I just said, you know what? Sometimes Florida doesn't always win by margin. That bothers me a little bit, but they did. The empty netter is what got it there 4-2 last night. But I'm going to go Florida puck line here tonight in this one. I'm not missing out on this. You know the team is going to rally around this young phenom of the future, this big-time goalie prospect that they've got in Spencer Knight. Expect a complete team effort here tonight against the Columbus Blue Jackets. They want to get a win for this kid. Columbus can't do anything in terms of winning a game right now to save their lives. Florida puck line for me is where I'm going to go in this game, which is around -1.5, +115, Panthers puck line to get the job done tonight. Next up, we've got the New York Rangers and the New York Islanders. Islanders -110 to -115, just slight home favorites here at Nassau Coliseum. Total 5.5 shaded to the under here in this game. The Islanders, they did finally get off the schneid. They had a rough two games against Boston, bounced back, beat the Flyers in overtime, 1-0. But the offense is just not in sync at all. Like, this team's not scoring goals. And they were supposed to have improved the offense with Kyle Palmieri at the trade deadline, and we're just not necessarily seeing evidence that this team's improved offensively, you know, the last few games. And that's definitely a concern. They were supposed to have addressed the offense, and yet they've really had a tough time finding the back of the net. And you start to look at some of these advanced numbers for the Islanders. Let me pull up some things that are concerning to me. Look, it's not full-blown panic time if you're Barry Trotz or the New York Islanders, but we need to point this out right now. The two games they played against the Rangers earlier this month, the Rangers had the edge, 2.14 to 1.92 in the goals, in the expected goals margin in the first game that they won 4-1. In the second game, the Rangers pretty much played them even in the expected goals margin and the high danger chances as well. And then the Islanders games after that, the two against Boston, the expected goal margins were 2.37 to 0.85 in favor of Boston in the first game against the Islanders, 2 to 1.12 in the second game for the Bruins in favor of them over the Islanders. The high danger chances in those games combined, the two games against Boston for this Islanders team, were 19 to 6 high danger chances in favor of Boston. 19 to 6. Those are damning statistics. Those are damning pieces of evidence to prove you not only got outplayed, you got badly outplayed. And then in the game against the Flyers on Sunday, the 1-0 Islander win, you'd think, all right, they're back on track. I don't know. They barely won the expected goal margin over the Flyers in that game. And in fact, the Islanders had 5 high danger chances against Philadelphia, and they gave up 8 high danger chances against Philadelphia in spite of winning the game 1-0 in overtime. You know, these are concerning right now. How do you only get against that Civ Flyer defense, goaltending problems as well? We know how bad the Flyer team has struggled to keep the puck out of their own net. How do you only get 5 high danger chances against them? How is that possible? You know, there's definitely some concerns I've got with this team. Now, the counter argument to that is the Rangers, as much as they've been red hot lately and playing great, and they're playing for their playoff lives, they're playing like a team that hasn't quit. They haven't given up on trying to make the playoffs. Everybody's saying it. Kreider, Zibanejad, Strome, anybody you ask on that team, they're going to give it their all to try to push toward this final playoff spot and try to track down Boston. But your counter argument to that could be is, well, you know, you have played New Jersey a lot lately and you feasted on a struggling Devils team that traded away a lot of pieces at the deadline. How much of an indicator is that, that you're playing well right now based on who you played? I get that. This is a tough one for me because I still don't see something being totally right here with this Islanders team. I am on the Rangers here for a small bet at plus 110. I am. And you look at the Rangers statistically lately, they've been dead even with the Islanders, you know, in terms of expected goals margin and danger chances for and against. Early in the season, the Islanders were crushing the Rangers in all of those categories. The last 10 games, the Rangers have played the Islanders even in those categories. And then you factor in the Rangers have been in better form than the Islanders. And people are going to look at this and say, how are the Islanders only minus 115? I think they're baiting you a little bit to take the Islanders here. I'm not falling for the bait here. And the Rangers, look, this is a somewhat important game for the Islanders. This is a hugely important game. Every game the rest of the way is incredibly important for the New York Rangers at this point in time. And look, they nearly went 2-0 against the Islanders last week. They beat them 4-1. They lost 3-2 in overtime. And you could argue they were right dead even with the Islanders in that game and had a chance. There's some warning signs with the Islanders. I'm on the blue shirts here. New York Rangers plus 110 against the New York Islanders. New Jersey and Pittsburgh. We've got Pittsburgh, a minus 260 home favorites, total six, shaded to the over here in this game. I'm on over the total here, six minus 115 in this game. I like this one quite a bit. New Jersey's defense has just been terrible lately. I mean, they're giving up four or five goals in the majority of their recent games. They get shelled by the Rangers. They've definitely had trouble keeping the puck out of their own net big time lately. And even Mackenzie Blackwood is fighting the puck and not playing all that well in net for the Devils. And then behind him, you've got Wedgwood and Aaron Farmer in the Dell. So, you know, you've got some issues right now with New Jersey defensively at this point in time. So I like the over. If you remember, New Jersey and Pittsburgh played each other not too long ago, and both of those games went over the total. Both of them soared over the total, I believe. 6-3 and 5-3 were the final scores in that game. I think Pittsburgh comes out strong early in this game as well. So not only do I like the over, I think they get their offense back on track. They got held down by Tokarski and the Sabres on Sunday. I think they get the offense revved up here tonight, back on track. I like the over in the full game. And I like Pittsburgh first period now. Didn't work out well with Calgary last night, but it did work well with Toronto Sunday night, these first period puck lines. I think this is one game where Pittsburgh, after losing to the Buffalo Sabres, you don't wait around to try to jump on the next opponent. I think you get it, you know, you get after it early in the first 20 minutes. I think that's the kind of mindset we're going to see from the Pittsburgh Penguins here tonight in this game. So I'm on two plays here. I'm on New Jersey, Pittsburgh, over six, minus 115 for the full game. And I like Pittsburgh first period puck line, minus a half goal, plus 115 is the price you can get. So that's Pittsburgh laying the half puck, plus 115 in the first period. Again, if they are leading after 20 minutes, we cash our ticket. I like that quite a bit. I like that angle. Devils have been getting the shit kicked out of them in the first period. In many of those games by the Rangers, they're down 2-0, 3-0 early in the first period. And I think Pittsburgh is going to be focused and ready to jump on New Jersey after losing to Buffalo on Sunday night. Pittsburgh first period puck line, minus a half goal, plus 115. And I also like the full game over six here in this one. All right, next up, Detroit and Dallas, the Stars, minus 250, home favorites here, total five across the board, shaded to the over in this game. Should be interesting to see how this one goes. Look, Detroit's feisty right now, just like Buffalo. These two teams are mirror images. You know, there's no free 2 points anymore playing the Buffalo Sabres. There's no free 2 points playing the Detroit Red Wings right now. This team is competing hard nightly. You know, they got Jacob Vrana back from Washington in the Anthony Mantha deal. He's made an impact. Adam Ernie has been good. Dylan Larkin is playing well every night and giving them chances. The defense and the goaltending has been good enough, you know, to keep the Red Wings in these games recently. And even Thomas Greiss has played marginally better. I wouldn't say he's played a lot better than he did early in the season, but he's played marginally better going into this game, you know, tonight against Dallas. So Dallas escaped with the win last night. They needed a shootout to do it. And I know Dallas is saying all the right things. Every win is like game seven for them right now, trailing Chicago and more specifically trailing Nashville for the final playoff spot. They still sit, you know, 4 points behind the Nashville Predators for that final playoff spot after Nashville won last night. So unfortunately, Dallas, despite winning, they were not able to gain any ground on the Nashville Predators. So every game's important, but I would only look Detroit here at plus. It's even a higher price than it was last night. So plus 220 here with the Red Wings. Maybe a little sprinkle on it. You know, Dallas was life and death to beat the Red Wings last night in that game. And it's just, and that's the thing with Dallas and why they're a little overvalued in this price range, because they don't necessarily win games comfortably. So many of their wins this season have been one goal games, and you can't be comfortable laying minus 250 like this on a team like this when they're winning so many games by the skin of their teeth. So there's no question the Dallas Stars are a little bit of a hazard to your health a little bit. When you bet them in this kind of price range, we'll have to see who's in net. It was Greiss last night, so it leads you to believe Bernier will be in net. And Bernier's had a rock solid year for the most part for the Detroit Red Wings. So this might be one of those small flyer on Detroit games for me. That would be the lean, at least in this one. All right, next game on the board here, we've got the we're actually going to go in order of time. So we'll do Toronto Vancouver first, and then we'll end it with Anaheim and Los Angeles. Toronto, Vancouver, we've got the Leafs minus 300, road favorites, the total six shaded to the over in this game between these two teams. We, I believe, might see David Riddick in net. That's at least what I heard. Yes, David Riddick will be in net tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs in this game. Very interesting, because I thought they were, I don't know if this is a demotion for Jack Campbell. Maybe this is just going to be the plan. Maybe Sheldon Keefe, now that he's got David Riddick, who's, say what you will, he's inconsistent, David Riddick, but he's been in the league now for multiple years. He's an experienced NHL starting goalie. Maybe Sheldon Keefe's mindset is, let's go back and forth with Riddick and Campbell while Campbell's hit his first rough patch, you know, with this team, and just go from there and take it game by game and just, you know, go back and forth with these two goalies tonight. So something to definitely keep in mind going into this game, but it will be David Riddick in net. And it's funny because Riddick was confirmed, I believe, not less than 30 minutes ago, and the over's getting hammered in this game. I see the total is just getting, people are betting this now. It was six to the over minus 115. Now it's six to the over minus 120, minus 130. And I'm even seeing 6.5 starting to pop up here in this game between the Leafs and the Canucks. I don't know. I don't know about the over, because, you know, Riddick's been solid so far for the Leafs. I can't say he's been great, but he's been solid. And who's going to be a net for Vancouver? I don't know. You would think they got to give Braden Holtby another look. And is Demko even ready? Demko's day-to-day. So it's not like Demko is going to be out, you know, indefinitely. This is a day-by-day fluid situation in terms of the availability of Thatcher Demko for the Vancouver Canucks. So we do not know who's going to be in net for them. It'll be Demko or it'll be Holtby, obviously. And Holtby turned back the clock and looked like he did when the year they won the Stanley Cup in Washington with him. And he looked like Patrick Waugh, Marty Brodeur, or a hybrid of those two guys the other night. His goaltending was unbelievable in that game against the Leafs the other night. And like I said, thank goodness I went Toronto first period puck line with the best bet on Sunday's show and not full game puck line. I would have paid the price for it. So yeah, Toronto should bounce back and win. I don't doubt that. I think they will. But again, Leafs have some goaltending concerns. Leafs are in a little bit of a funk, four games straight they've lost. Although you can't penalize them for losing the Vancouver game in terms of, you can't say they played like shit that game, even though they lost. You can't. They had 21-5 high danger chances at advantage. What the expected goal margin was like 4.68 to 1.72. You know, it was domination for the Toronto Maple Leafs statistically in that game. They just didn't get the win. They didn't play poorly in that game whatsoever. The Leafs, they just didn't finish their chances. They probably will have a better chance to finish the chances tonight. We'll see how Riddick goes in net. I guess a Toronto team total over makes some sense. Like, I could see the dam bursting a little bit here for Holtby if he's back in net. Look, he was amazing the other night. I don't know if I trust him to do it again. So I guess a Toronto team total over 3.5, minus 150, would be a pretty strong lean for me, although I don't know if I'm going to make it an official play. But that's what I would lean with, is the Leafs team total over 3.5, minus 150. I'd rather not worry about what Vancouver does offensively against David Riddick and the Leafs. So I would rather just stick to the team total, 3.5, minus 150. I may make that an official play. It's at the very least a strong lean for me, the Leaf team total to go over. Anaheim, Los Angeles, final game on this Tuesday card. Los Angeles Kings, minus 155 to minus 160, home favorites. Total 5.5 here across the board. Does anybody have faith in LA in this price range? I sure don't. I'm shocked that there's so much love in the betting markets here for the Kings. This opened minus 135. And they're betting this thing up 25 cents. You know, it's minus 160, you know, in a lot of spots right now. And this is a Kings team that's not playing very good hockey right now. Neither is Anaheim. I get it. But, you know, at least Anaheim, in their last two losses, they're against an excellent Vegas Golden Knights team. So I think it's difficult to hold that against them. You know, Los Angeles, they haven't really fired as much offensively of late. Their defensive game has kind of declined a little bit. I would only look Anaheim. I'm staying far away from this game. I want no part of it. It's two teams that are a tough read on a nightly basis in my mind, but I will tell you right now, there is just no way I'm getting to the betting window at any point this season with teams like the LA Kings when they're laying more than minus 150. I'm not going to do it. I said the same thing about San Jose. You know, remember when San Jose was laying over minus 150, and it was actually to this Anaheim team when they were laying this kind of price, San Jose against them. And San Jose lost both games against the Anaheim Ducks. So absolutely, it's Anaheim or pass at plus 140 in this game. That would be the only side I would go with here is the Ducks. Don't know if I will, but that would be the lean for me, is Anaheim here in this game. Anaheim, obviously, we know they've had their issues. They're banged up, especially a key defenseman. Hampus Lindholm's been out for a while. They miss him quite a bit. Right now, no confirmed goalies yet for this game, but it's expected. The projected starters are John Gibson and Cal Peterson in this game for the Ducks and the Kings. To me, with it's two teams that are not making the playoffs. It's two teams that are in suspect, dubious current form. We'll have to wait and see on that. But definitely at this price, I can't lay this number with the LA Kings. It would be Anaheim or pass for me, and I'm probably going to pass. I just don't see a whole lot of reason to be actively interested in betting this game here. In terms of the Leaf game, yes, Nick Foligno's not ready to join the team yet. He's still serving a 7-day quarantine. That's not going to be finished until, I believe, tomorrow. And then I think he's going to be able to join the team, and he could make his Leaf debut as early as Thursday against Winnipeg. It might be more reasonable to expect him maybe on Saturday over the weekend to make his debut with the Leafs. Nick Foligno, Nylander, disciplinary issues, so he's not going to play. And, of course, Hyman's out at least a couple of weeks. So that's where the Leafs stand in terms of their injury situation. Someone in the chat, Michael, asking, it seems like your videos aren't available later in the day. It doesn't show today's show. I don't think it's just on. I don't know. I've seen that too, Michael, where YouTube doesn't show the past videos on our Ice Guys channel. You don't see today's show until it's gone beyond 24 hours since you recorded that show, and you won't see it until like the day after. So for example, like today's show, you've got to somehow go to find the YouTube link, or you got to click the YouTube link. And that's the thing with the Patreon Ice Guys subscribers at patreon.com/iceguys. And when I post the daily NHL Ice Guys tweets with the link on Twitter. If you click that link, you'll get the show. The problem is if you just go directly to the Ice Guys YouTube channel, you probably won't see the show appear in the archive videos on the channel until 24 hours after we record live. So you may not see this particular episode of the Ice Guys just by going directly to the channel until, say, 2 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. I've noticed that too. That's not you seeing things. I've seen it too. And I don't know. I think it's just a flaw in the software with YouTube, I think. That's because, but I've noticed the same thing. Absolutely, 100%. So just make sure, yeah, you search the Ice Guys, search, you know, all the hashtags that we put below the videos as well, NHL picks, NHL predictions, NHL betting, the Ice Guys hashtag, put all that in the search. And if you do that, you should be able to find this particular video the day of. But if you just go directly to the channel, for some reason, past live streams don't always show up until 24 hours after the recording is done. I can't fathom why that is. I have no idea why that is. I think it's just some kind of coding issue that needs to be corrected. Like, come on, YouTube. You're a freaking million-billion-dollar entity here. Figure it out. Get your software folks on this. Get your coders on this. Get your brainiacs and your nerds and your computer geeks and your software developers on this stat and get it done so that people don't have to deal with this. You know, it's asinine that I could go to the Ice Guys YouTube channel here later at 4 p.m. I want to watch today's show. I just want to go to the channel and pull up today's episode. I can't do that. Instead, I'll only see yesterday's episode. How stupid is that? I hear you. I've seen the exact same thing. So, to avoid this happening, if you want to watch the show that we just did the day of, if you can't watch live, just in the YouTube search, type in the Ice Guys or hashtag NHL picks, and you should find all the Ice Guys shows, including the one we just did. So hopefully that is the way that you can get around this issue that we've had. So definitely keep that in mind. But it's something they should correct. Hopefully they will. No question about it. All right. So we've broken down. We've gotten through every game on the Tuesday card. Full analysis. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. As always, a reminder, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Sign up for an account. Use the promo code THPN. It is truly a great time of year to get on board. No question about that. There are so many different sports on the go at this point in time. There's definitely all kinds of daily sports. There's NHL, there's NBA, there's Major League Baseball every single day. There we go. There it is. DraftKings promo code THPN, daily NHL, daily NBA, daily Major League Baseball. We've got NFL draft coming up. We've got, of course, remember as well that when you sign up and for a DraftKings Sportsbook account, you get weekly specials, weekly incentives, deposit bonuses, all of that at your disposal. Great time of year to try DraftKings out. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, sign up for an account, and use that promo code THPN. All right, it is time for Best Bets for this Tuesday edition of the Ice Guys show. And I don't do this very often, where the best bet is coming right back with the same team that I lost a best bet with the previous day. I'm going to do that tonight. I lost a tough one with Carolina, but hey, last night is a best bet. 3-2 loss in overtime. Coin flip game, played well enough to win. Tampa Bay just got the finishing touch in overtime and got the victory. But it was a game that was easily a game Carolina could have won. I like the bounce back spot here. I'm right back to the Carolina Hurricanes, a little kakalaki here once again for my best bet tonight. Let's go with the Carolina Hurricanes plus 105. Against the Tampa Bay Lightning one more time. And let's hope we see the W after this game instead of the L with the Carolina Hurricanes. So Carolina plus 105 against the Tampa Bay Lightning. That'll be my best bet for this Tuesday edition of the Ice Guys. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. We appreciate it. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week on YouTube, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern time, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern time. And if you can't watch the show live, make sure you download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms. It's, you know, on Google Podcasts, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, we're on Stitcher, we're on iHeart. It is on all major podcast platforms that you can find the Ice Guys show. So make sure you tune in and download the audio version of the show if you can't watch it live. Thanks to everyone for tuning in as always. This is Ian Cameron, your host of the Ice Guys. Have a great Tuesday night. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow on Wednesday for another edition of the Ice Guys presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.